Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Gauravinda Swami Nityanandane Shri Guru Paramananda Premananda Phalaprada Brajananda Pradananda Sevayam Maniyojaya Gurave Gurachandraya Radhikaya Tadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tadbhaktaya Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschacadi Shatarane Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipuno Sadharma Samstapako Lokanamita Kadanu Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanyakaro Radha Krishna Padara Vinda Bhajana Andena Mataliko Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yuga Shri Jiva Gopalako Pancha Pabadadubhischa Kripa Sindubhyaiva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Sri Bhavanasar Sangraha by Sri Siddha Krishnadas Tutpada Majjan Leela 1:36 p.m. to 2 p.m. which is described by Rupa Goswami in the Sriman Mahaprabhu Ashtakaliya Leela Smarana Mangala Stotram text 4. Sahali Sri Radha Sahita Hari Leelam Bahuvidam Smaran Madhyani Ampulakita Tanur Gad Gadavacham Bruvan Vyaktam Tamcha Swajana Gana Madhinukurute Sachi Sunu Yastam Bhajamama Manastvam Vatasada. O my dear mind, continuously worship the son of Mother Sachi. His whole body erupts in ecstatic bumps of sheer delight when he remembers the extensively variegated midday pastimes of Krishna sporting with Radha and the multitude of gopis. His voice stutters and chokes in excitement as he describes these leelas amongst his devotees. And thus he manifests the performance of plays and dramas which simultaneously correspond to the occurrence of the divine couple's pastimes. The Manjaris, knowing that Hari and his beloved girlfriends were tired from enjoying different pastimes, invited them to play in Radha Kund. The devoted Manjaris tied up the Sakhi's hair, loosened from the heat of Cupid's battle. After removing their heavy clothes and ornaments, they dressed them in fine white bathing outfits just suitable for water sports. The beautiful-eyed gopis appeared lovely and attractive in their light bathing attire. Divine water sports in Radha Kund. The luster of Krishna's body eclipsed the beauty of hundreds of moons, Pushkar. His eyes resembled lotus flowers, Pushkar, blooming in the blazing sun, and his sidelong glances defeated Cupid's flower arrows, Pushkar. Krishna was eager to play in the water, Pushkar, to mitigate his love fatigue and that of his girlfriends. Krishna dipped into the lotus-filled Pushkarini Radhakund to sport. He looked like an intoxicated bull elephant, Pushkari, about to enjoy with his bevy of female elephants, Pushkarini. The two mad elephants of Krishna's eyes expanded in ecstasy upon viewing the glistening bodies of the gopis whose lovely features resembled the beautiful Radhakund. The attractive azure eyes of the gopis were blue lotuses. Their faces, flushed with love, were pink lotuses. Their bouncing locks of hair were swarms of restlessly moving bees. Their full breasts were chakravaka birds, and their graceful arms were stems of lotus flowers. Some timid gopis stood on the shore, hesitating to enter. The gopis and Radhakund splashed them with water, tugged on their garments, and giggled while pulling them into the kund. Hari stood navel deep in the water and chuckled while splashing all the gopis. Some gopis fearfully fled to places in Radhakund where the water only reached their knees or thighs. The gopis keenly desired to play, but they became very serious, not due to fear of their elders, but out of fear of losing Krishna's company. Therefore, they gathered in one group. One gopi, not wanting to ruin the flower ornament Krishna had made for her, remained in the dry shores of Radhakund. The other doe-eyed damsels lovingly tried to pull her into the water. She resisted, and the gopis combined to splash her with laughter and lots of water from their cupped hands. As their beauty increased, the gopis' gorgeous faces made friends with the lotuses. Their breasts made friends with the chakravaka birds, and their navels made friends with the whirlpools in Radhakund. The gopis held hands with each other to form a golden net. They surrounded Krishna with their golden net just as the moonlight surrounds the clouds. Caught in their net, Krishna induced the dancer of his glance to dance. By this, Krishna conquered the gopis' eyes and broke their net with a huge wave of water. The gopis drew closer to Krishna and dumped loads of water over his head. Krishna blissfully covered his eyes to tolerate the downpour. Madhav then retaliated by drenching the gopis with torrents of water. The gopis became momentarily stunned. Their blissful faces, however, remained as effulgent as the orb of the full moon. Suddenly, Radhika started splashing Shyam with water from her lotus bud hands. The sound of Radha's jeweled bangles jingling like the water weapon of Cupid was intolerable for Krishna, who desired victory in the water fight. Radha, using her cupped hands like a water-bearing cloud, took great pleasure in completely soaking Krishna with thick streams of water. As the glittering water continually cascaded upon Krishna's chest, it appeared that he was being pierced by the irresistible power of Cupid's flower arrows. Krishna's flower garland and pearl necklace broke apart. Only his Kaustubha gem withstood defeat. Krishna boasted before Radha, "Now see if you can bear some my water barrage." Shyam laughed lovingly before soaking Kishori's face with water. Restless-eyed Radha was afflicted by Krishna's splashing, but she easily tolerated it by covering her eyes with her lotus hands. The resolution of a lover is so astonishing. Madhusudan drank the nectar of the gopis' lotus faces as they showered him with the arrows of their glances. Krishna tore off the gopis' ornaments. The commotion caused by the jingling ornaments and the sucky screams made the kiki and other birds warble fearfully. The gopis radiated an indescribable erotic sweetness after Krishna stole their blouses and veils. They felt shy, however, so they used their hands to cover their exposed breasts, scratched by Krishna's fingernails. Locks of wet hair clung to their faces. The gopis stood in the water among the clusters of lotus flowers with their arms locked across their breasts. It appeared that the countless soldiers in Cupid's army had bound up many exalted moons with terrifying ropes of Cupid. The gopis approached Nandi Mukhi and complained with choked voices. The intoxicated elephants of Krishna's eyes bathed in a river of delight, admiring the gorgeous bodies of the gopis shining through their thin, wet clothes. Similarly, the female elephants of the gopis' eyes, submerged in the nectar stream flowing from Shyam's enticing form, shimmering under his wet garments. Radhakund became scented with flower pollen and honey oozing from the pink, red, white, and blue lotus flowers, water lilies, and night-blooming lotuses. Krishna and the gopis accelerated their already enthusiastic battle of water splashing. The gopis gently sprinkled Krishna, who responded by vigorously splashing them. The gopis retaliated with a ferocious constant volley of water from all directions that made Krishna bow his head in fear and cover his eyes, nose, and ears with his flower petal fingers. Radha slipped away during all the commotion and hid herself amidst a cluster of golden lotus flowers. Krishna searched eagerly for Radha. He kissed yellow lotuses after lotus, mistaking them for her face. Radha and her sakis broke out in uncontrollable laughter. Krishna detected Radha's hiding place and immediately approached her. The constant splashing of Radha and her sakis forced Krishna, the crest jewel of lovers, to lower his head and say, "Stop, stop, I'm defeated." Radha, accepting Shyam's surrender, stopped spraying him and burst into laughter. One saki said, "Oh Radha, there's no need to splash Krishna anymore since he's admitted defeat. The flower garland in his head is hiding amidst his dark hair out of fear. The water has washed off his mineral powder designs, and the bees have rejected his fallen flower garland. The glowing rays of Krishna's Kostuba gem now reflect on your cheeks." Lalita said, "O Radha, stop fighting now. Just see how Krishna's topknot is undone. His tilak is rubbed off, his earrings are shaking, and his garland is torn to shreds. The reflection of Krishna's Kostuba gem has taken shelter of your cheeks. Oh, Sakhi, don't torture Krishna anymore." The touch of Krishna and the Sakhis increased the natural fragrance and coolness of Radhakund. The water became tinted with different colors from the black musk, yellow sandalwood paste, and red kumkum falling off their divine bodies. As the water war died down, the bliss of love awoke. The graceful lotus-eyed gopis initiated the battle of lotuses. The sakis plucked the unfading lotuses and handed them to Radha. Raising her arm over her head to reveal the lower curve of her breasts, Radha bombarded Krishna's chest with a volley of lotus flowers. Krishna caught all of Radha's flowers, laughed blissfully, and fired them back at her. The lotuses became both lusty and attractive due to being thrown back and forth and associating with Radhasham's lotus hands. It seemed that a shuttle was weaving a huge golden cloth of prem. The back and forth movement of the bees pursuing the fragrant flowers resembled the arrows of the divine couple's glances. The creepers of Radha's arms wilted. Her chest heaved with her deep breaths, and her eyes rolled lazily Yet her thirst for sport increased more and more. When a bee forsook the lotus to land on Radha's lotus face, and a school of suffering fish took shelter her feet, Radha became startled, and suddenly, fearfully, embraced her lover's chest. The Sakis, abandoning all fear, surrounded Radha Madhav. They raised their arms and laughed loudly while tossing lots of lotuses on the divine couple. Radha Madhav laughed happily while holding lotus leaves above their heads to ward off the barrage of flowers. What should the Sakis do now that their leader Radha had given up the fight? The water birds on Krishna's side spread their wings and began to dance. Radha was standing up to her breasts in deep water. Two Chakravaka birds, seeing her breasts resting on the surface of the water, approached her, mistaking her breasts to be their own species. Krishna relished the amusing sight and then tried to touch those two birds. Radha quickly covered her breasts with her crossed arms. Krishna then wrapped two thick lotus stems, his arms, around Radha's neck, which made Radha's creeper-like arms erupt in goosebumps. "See the glory of praying," Krishna said to Radha. "O Sakhi, your friends should surround me, and you should stand here without moving. I will dive under the water, and then all of you try to find and hold me." Radha ordered the Sakhis to take up positions around Krishna, who quickly dipped under the water. The gopis extended their arms like a luminous circle net to search for Krishna. The Sakhis moved toward Radha while gradually decreasing the diameter of their circle. They joyfully crowded together next to Radha and agitated the water by forcefully moving their delicate hands. They could not find Krishna, however, so they just stood there giggling. Radha asks, "Who among you let that mischievous one escape?" The Sakhis defended themselves one after another, saying, "I didn't let him go by. I think Krishna must have fled out of fear of you. O Sakhi Radha, you must certainly know Krishna's whereabouts. What can we know about your fleeing lover? We see the fresh marks of amorous affairs on your lovely body. Why are you hiding something from us who depend on you alone?" Radha relished the gopis' jokes for a few moments. Then Radha became uneasy and worried due to separation from her lover. Casting sidelong glances here and there, Radha vainly searched for Shyam. The humming of a swarm of bees revealed that playful, happy Krishna was hiding among the water lilies. The Sakhis, fearing that Krishna might escape again, formed a tight circle and quickly closed in on Krishna. This time, the gopis, like generals in the battle of love, savored the taste of victory. Krishna, with his attractive lotus eyes, glanced affectionately at the gopis to satisfy their hearts with a honey-sweet flow of mercy. Krishna asked nonchalantly, "Why have you surrounded me as I played alone in the cluster of lotuses? I've already been defeated. Do you have no shame? Do you want to compete in water splashing again?" The gopis, smiling slightly, angrily replied to Krishna's sweet but scolding words, "You ran away from the battle of lotuses and hid yourself among the blue lotus flowers. You submerged in the water for a minute and then escaped by deceit. What about you? Don't you have any shame?" Radha said, "Who should know about Krishna's defeat? Indeed, to whom should one tell it? It is not suitable to speak about it to just anyone. Shyam, therefore, has gone to the water lilies to tell them about his defeat at your hands. Krishna was alone and you were many, so it is natural that he lost." Krishna, was amused with Radha's words and replied, "O beautiful one, come here. Only you have supported me and know my heart. The opposing side is blind to my intentions. Therefore, I will worship you alone." Krishna happily adorned Radha's ears with lotus seed husks. He designed a stylish hair ornament for Radha from the best of leaves and flower petals. Krishna used lotus pollen powder to draw many intricate designs on Radha's breast to intimate his heart's desires. He fashioned a jeweled belt from sayavala plants and a necklace from water lily stems. Krishna beautified Kishori's cheeks with colored lotus pollen. The gopis celebrated their victory by taking water in one hand and striking it with the other to imitate the sounds of frogs. Witness the greatness of Krishna's water sports. A person becomes qualified for liberation by transcending the three gunas, material bondage and attachment, rag, contamination, lepa, passion, becoming niranjan, and by remaining silent. Similarly, the gopis' necklaces became unstrung without gunas, their hair braids loosened, free from bondage, and the color, rag, of their lips faded. The cosmetics, anulep, on their breasts washed away the mascara, anjana, which vanished from their eyes, and their bangles fell silent. Their belts, meanwhile, became loose, mukta. In this way, Krishna liberated the Braj gopis by his blissful water sports. The gopis, feeling too shy to get undressed, just stood on the bank of Radhakund in their thin white bathing clothes. As the water dripped off their clothes, it appeared that their pitiable bodies were weeping tears. The gopis' tired bodies looked pale, and their weary, bloodshot eyes resembled red lotuses. Krishna's curious eyes thoroughly relished the attractive combination. Meanwhile, the sakis in the water, forgetting all the difficulties incurred during their playing, lovingly performed a splendid avibhritya bath, a ritual bath after a ceremony, to conclude the water pastimes of Radha Shyam. The gopis, now tired and soaked in perspiration, enhanced the beauty of Radha Madhav by sprinkling them with water from their graceful lotus bud hands, jingling with bracelets. The gorgeous gopis quickly bathed Radha Madhav. The divine couple looked like a pair of elephants covered with shimmering water, soft lotus pollen, lotus petals, stamens, and stalks. The gopis cleansed Radha Madhav's hair with scented oil and perfumes, and then rubbed their limbs. The manjaris massaged Hari and his sweethearts with aromatic herbal oils, anointed them with cleansing powders, and happily bathed them in Radha Kund. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,